Dane from Iowa, Jennifer from California, Jorge from Texas, Bobby from Ohio, Clark from Alabama, and Cleland from New York all asked me the same question. Better yet, I know the answer. It's that time again, Flippers. If you buy and sell vehicles for a profit or you want to, you're in the right place. This is the Flipping Genius Podcast. Our number one goal is to help our listeners make more money. Every episode, we share information, ideas, and experiences of real-life car flippers. I'm Randy Lee. I'm the host of Flipping Genius. I've flipped cars most of my life. For over a dozen years now, I've been a licensed dealer. I am working to build the best podcast about successfully flipping cars for a consistent profit. Let's get to it, flippers. Well, it is that time again. Time to answer our listeners and our viewers at the Flipping Genius YouTube channel. Time to answer your questions. I try to never let these pile up. In fact, I'd say about 98.7% of the time I answer the question in a one-on-one email within 24 hours. However, when I get the same question from three or more of you, I figure there are at least another 300 of you who are wondering the same thing. So periodically, I dedicate an episode or a part of an episode to this. And that, my flipping friends, is what I'm going to do today. Now, before I go to the first question, let me say thank you for listening to the Flipping Genius Podcast. And also, if you have a question and you'd like me to answer either on the podcast or directly, just email me at flippingquestions@gmail.com or join our car flipping forum group on Facebook groups. And not only will you get my answers, but you can share and swap ideas, struggles, successes, questions with flippers from all across the country and all around the world. And it's free. Okay. The first question was asked by about a dozen of you after listening to my guest, Ed Fox, and I talk on our 100th episode. That was a lot of fun. If you haven't listened, and better yet, if you haven't watched it on YouTube, you really want to check it out. Now, Dave from Monroe, Michigan, asked it like this. You and Mr. Fox talked a lot about bartering and trading and trade banking. Honestly, I'm not really understanding what it's all about. Can you explain that some more and how it can help me? I'm a dealer in Michigan and we sell about 10 to 15 cars a month. Is that something we can do to build our business? Well, congratulations. First off, Dave from Monroe, Michigan, for selling 10 to 15 cars a month. That's a pretty good business you got going. I know there's lots of you out there that probably are knocking it down bigger than that, but you can make quite a bit of money selling 10 or 15 cars each month. And yes, you can help yourself build your business by using barter. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. Get a little sip of the Kickapoo Joy Juice here. You guys know, if you've listened or if you listened to Ed and I talk on episode 100, I love barter. It has enriched my life, and it has enabled me to do some things in business that I probably wouldn't be able to do. So to answer Dave's question, just to give you some ideas, there's some things that barter can do for you. It helps you conserve your cash. Cash is king. We've all heard that before. And if you could trade a car for another car, as long as you're getting the better end of the deal, you want to do that. Well, barter kind of works like this. Let's see if I can explain this properly. You know, it's been around forever. And let's say your dentist wants to buy a car and you say, okay, give me free dental service or give me your dental service for the next 5 years and we'll swap out for this car. Now that might be a good deal for you. Maybe you don't have any dental insurance. Maybe you need, maybe that works out for you. But let's say you do have dental insurance and your dentist wants to do that. And you say, no, it doesn't work for me because my insurance company pays for most of my services. So there's not a need for that. Now, if you threw a third person into the mix, say a plumber, or maybe a fourth person into the mix, like a auto detail shop, or a fifth person into the mix, maybe a restaurant. Now, between that group of four or five of you, you could probably find a way to swap and switch back and forth and make deals happen. And the cool thing about it is you're all doing business at your cost of doing business. Now, I own another business in the retail arena, and in that business, my markups are considerable, higher than they are in the car business. So that is the business I primarily use in barter to generate my barter money, and then I'll use that throughout the entire enterprise of my businesses. For different things I need, and also to pay myself an income, which we use for things personally. The beautiful thing about that is, let's say it costs me 25 cents on the dollar for my product. Not only am I able to buy other products, let's say like the detail work, or maybe a transmission shop, or a paint job. Maybe I need any of those things for the car business specifically. I can do those things at my cost of doing business. But on top of that, because I'm the only one selling that particular product in a group of businesses, and this group is not four or five businesses, it's 4,000 or 5,000 businesses across the United States and in the parts of Europe and Canada who can buy my product. And in some cases, I'm the only one who sells that product. So therefore, I don't have to market. The business comes to me, so I'm using money that comes to me easily, and I can turn around and use that, and I could use it for advertising for the business. I could do virtually anything that I need. Paving, did some concrete work this year, all 100% on barter. Sometimes I'll offer to pay for the materials, especially with building materials being as high as there are. Sometimes we'll pay for building materials and do the labor in barter. But to answer your question, Dave, absolutely. This is an opportunity. And in Monroe, Michigan, I'm familiar with the area. I know that there are some barter groups up there. And like Ed Fox said, search, just Google it, and then take a look at what is available and talk to them, ask them questions, and have them educate you, and also look at the reviews and see what people say online. And feel free to email me more about it if I can help you. I'd be happy to, because it's something I've been doing for, it's going on 30 years now. It's really helped me a lot, and I'm sure that you can do it. And to talk more specifically, as I said, I use a different business to complement my car business. But here's an example. I've got a vehicle right now that I've had trouble selling it. It's a nice vehicle, good vehicle, but it's a manual transmission, and that's got me stumped because I haven't had anybody come across with a cash for it. This vehicle is well worth what I'm asking for it. But in the barter situation, I would be able to retail that car at retail value, which will be probably double what I'm going to get for it. And I'd probably sell it within hours. I had a truck one time. It actually had a salvage title. It was a good truck. Everything worked on it and everything, but it was going to need to be rebuilt. This was in the state of Alabama. So it'd have to be inspected by the state and approved by the state and issue the rebuilt title before you could drive it on the roads. I didn't want to mess with any of that. I bought the car at a great discount and was pleasantly surprised that it drove and ran. There was really nothing wrong with it. The repairs had already been done, and then it had been repossessed. Anyway, I sold that car within, I sold that truck within, I believe, 10 minutes. And I could have sold it a half dozen more times because the phone kept ringing once I publicized it amongst the barter members. And I sold that vehicle for close to a retail price because supply and demand being what it was, I was the only one with a truck for sale, and it was a good solid truck. And I've since sold that individual another vehicle. I don't do a lot of vehicles on barter because I don't have to, but every now and then I'll get one like the one I'm talking about. And if I just run into a dead end marketing it and I don't want to mess with it, or maybe I need to generate some more barter money to do some paving or do some significant remodeling to a home that we own coming up, and I'm going to need about $12,000. That might be an opportunity for me to generate some money that I can use for the remodeling project. So I may turn that over, and like I said, I won't have to sell it. I won't have to market it. All I'll have to do is pretty much do the paperwork and turn over the keys. So you can see I get excited about this, and so does Ed Fox. And as far as I want to jump back into, because you said we've talked about trading and bartering. And you said trade banking. Well, Trade Bank is actually the company that Mr. Fox, he owns two Trade Bank franchises. There's different barter groups all across the country. I belong to three of them. I belong to iTex, which you've heard me advertise for iTex. They've been one of our sponsors over the years. They currently are not, and nothing against them or against us. It's just that currently they're not giving me any money to say their name over and over again. I also belong to IMS Barter, which shout out to my great longtime friend Donna, who handles all of my IMS barter out of Chattanooga. One of the nicest people I know, and as somebody who's helped my business and my family for decades now. And then I also belong to Trade Bank, and my local broker is Lisa Smith, who you heard, I think, in episode 15, and then of course you heard Ed Fox, who owns the Nashville and the Wichita branches, franchises of the Trade Bank operation. Trade Bank is, like Ed said, it's kind of a boutique barter company, whereas iTex and IMS are traded on the New York Stock Exchange. They're big giants. Really, really like Trade Bank, and I don't know if they're in your area, Dave. I think they used to be, or possibly, but I know that there's some out of Detroit and out of Toledo, so check those out. And if anybody has any other questions about barter, please reach out to me. It can be very beneficial to you, whether it's directly related to your car business or another business that you have. Okay. Question number two. I said earlier in the intro, Dane from Iowa, Jennifer from California, Jorge from Texas, Bobby from Ohio, Clark in Alabama, hey Clark, and Cleland from New York all asked me about how I flip cars without doing any real mechanical work myself. That was their question. I think Jennifer, I'm going to read her question. Jennifer asked, Randy, I keep hearing you mentioning Dennis, your mechanic. I've listened to about 15 of your episodes, and I think you've mentioned him every time. Does he work for you, or is he paying you for advertising? It sounds like you are just paying a retail mechanic to do your work. Is that right? And if so, if that is so, how can you still come out with a profit? I'm not trying to call you out or anything. The fact is, my sister and I want to get into flipping too, and neither of us know much about cars. So is it really possible to hire out all the work and still make money flipping? Great question. Great question. And I appreciate all you folks. Jennifer, yes. Yes and no. And to go back to that Dennis Johnson, I don't think I mentioned him last time. Dennis Johnson owns Dennis Johnson Auto Repair in Madison, Alabama. And no, he did not pay me to say that any single time. I've never asked him I don't think we've even talked about advertising. Dennis has done my work on my cars for quite a while now. You know, years just kind of run together. And basically, he is a retail operation. He has about 12, 14 bay operation. It's pretty nice setup. And Dennis owns a race car. He's a smart guy, knows all about cars. He's got some beautiful vehicles. He knows all about flipping too. I've learned some stuff from Dennis over the years, and he's a trustworthy guy. The guys that work with him, you've heard Gary on my show. I think Gary was back in episode 25 or something like that. Had a great time talking to Gary. Gary's his operations manager. And again, you know, very knowledgeable, very, very good folks to know. They know all about cars. And yes, I do make a profit paying them to do the work for me. Now, does that limit me? It does. It does. I am limited. I think we're all limited by our abilities. We all have limits, I would imagine. Dennis is a brilliant mechanic, but he doesn't really like marketing much. So every now and then he'll give me a car and give me a good deal on a car and allow me the chance to make a little bit of money on it. But I'm, of course, the opposite. I know marketing and sales, but I don't know either side of the wrench. I mean, the honest truth is I can do a few things, and I could probably do the repairs if I really tried, but it would not be cost effective. It would not be enjoyable because I do not like doing that kind of work. So knowing that, I needed to find somebody who was honest, trustworthy, and who would do the work at a reasonable rate. And the guys, they I trust them explicitly, implicitly. I know I get those words wrong. And so my operation is simple as this. I buy a vehicle wherever I buy it from. Just about every single time I take it directly to Dennis Johnson. Now, I say Dennis Johnson is the name of the company. Dennis, he's done so well that he rarely does any work anymore. The other guys are doing it. He just supervises everything. But we take it to his shop, and if I don't take it there, my wife Terry will get upset with me because she knows I don't know Jack. So we got to have Dennis look it over and tell us. And that's the first thing he does. He just does a rundown, looks over the car. I tell him what I think might be wrong with it if I found something that's wrong with it. But I want him to check it over and give me the feedback on what we need to do to make the vehicle safe, to make it sellable. And that's really what I'm looking to do. Now, you know, I sell vehicles in the lower echelon, although we're kind of bumping it up a little bit lately. But I'm always under $5,000 pretty much all the time, definitely under 10. So we don't want to put a lot of money in the vehicle, but we've got to have the vehicle safe and we've got to have it sellable. So the guys down there, Gary's mostly who I work with, and Gary knows exactly what I'm looking for. And so I take a vehicle there, I drop it off, and I go about my business, and then they get back to me and tell me what we need to do. Now, I'm pretty much paying retail prices for it. So I've got to factor all that in. And I do when I'm making my assessment of a vehicle, I know enough to know enough, I guess. Over the years, I've learned to be able to recognize what is probably wrong. I know I need new tires. I know I need a new battery. I know that it apparently we've got a bad valve cover gasket leak and that's going to probably have to be done. I can recognize this has got a blown head gasket. I can hear that somebody's chopped the catalytic converters off. I can see, and I also, of course, see the things that I deal with myself or through another source as far as detail work and things like that. So I'm calculating all that when I'm making the purchase, and I'm also calculating what I think I'll sell the car for. All that goes into making the purchase. Let's see. And you asked, how can you still make a profit? And that's exactly how I do it. I do an assessment up front, and sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes I miss things. Sometimes I'm off. But if I'm wondering, a lot of times I'll call Gary from wherever I'm at, and I'll tell him what I'm looking at. I've got a 2008 Pontiac G6, and it looks like it needs new window motors, and I'm thinking we're going to need, it's a V6, and I need to do the valve cover gaskets. What do you think that's going to cost me? And he'll give me a basic price if I don't know about things like that. And every now and then you run into one that'll say, oh, that's a tough one. We got to pull the engine to do this, or that's going to cost you, $800 more than you think. It's good to know that up front, and it's good to have that relationship like I do with Dennis and Gary. So I can get that information up front, and it helps me. That helps me make money by buying it right. But if you could do the work yourself, Jennifer, if you and your sister could do the work yourself, you're probably going to come out ahead. But most of us don't have that skill, or maybe the desire. So I guess the good news is it really is possible to hire out all your work and still make money flipping. So yes, you can do that. Any more questions, Jennifer or any of you guys, Dane, Jorge, Bobby, Clark, Cleland, you can get me with me by email. I've answered all of them. Of course, I always answer everybody that sends me anything. Hope that helps. If you got follow-up questions or anything, make sure you send them to me at flippingquestions@gmail.com. Question number three. I think this next question was asked about 20 times by, and probably 20 different ways, but Hiko, and I hope I'm saying your name right, Hiko, because we haven't talked yet. Even though I think I've emailed back and forth about a half dozen times now. But anyway, Hiko from Arizona asked it this way. How do you know if you're going to make a profit on a car before you buy it? You say that you nearly double your money on most cars. Is that true? Are there some cars that work better for you than others? Are there some you just stay away from? Great questions, Hiko. I'm being redundant with him because we have talked back and forth many, many times on email and through Facebook. But I was just talking with Jennifer there, answering her question. That's how I make a profit on a car before I buy it. I know I'm going to make a profit on a car before I buy it. And, I've been doing this for a long time now, even though I don't do the physical work. I have been buying and selling and I know what it's supposed to look like. I know what it's not supposed to look like. I use Kelley Blue Book still. A lot of people are probably saying that's crazy because the market's crazy. You have to know your market and what you're going to sell things for. So I get a pretty good handle on what I'm going to sell something for, like that G6 I was just talking about. I use the Kelley Blue Book app right on my phone. I am going to probably bump up a little bit lately. I'm also bumping into a little bit higher price range just because of necessity as far as what I'm buying, what I'm selling. But I'm always in that lower tier. So I know if I can sell this car for $4,000, I'm thinking I'm going to have to put $500 into it. It's costing me a certain amount of money just for each vehicle. Let's say $300 for insurance and my rent and my bond, and so that's 5 plus 3 plus another. I got to put a windshield on it. That's $200. It's going to need tires. That's another $400. You know, now I'm up to what is that? I'm losing track here. Let's say all that adds up to $1,400, and I'm thinking I'm going to get $4,000 for it. So 4,000 minus 14 is $2,600. And let's say I want to make $1,000 on it. I can't pay more than $1,600 for that car. And I really don't want to pay that much, because if I'm buying it at an auction, I'll also have auction fees. So I've got to figure all these things in, Hiko, before I make my purchase or make an offer or raise my hand if it's at an auction. You've got to know these basic numbers. And like I said, if I'm at the auction, or if I'm at an individual's place and I'm looking at a vehicle before I make an offer, I'm doing this assessment. And if I need help, I will oftentimes call the guys at Dennis Johnson Automotive in Madison, Alabama. You would think they'd pay me, wouldn't you? And I usually will talk to Gary, and he's great. He'll take a couple minutes and give me an answer. And he'll also tell me what to look for on a particular vehicle. So try to make an educated decision before I buy it. And as far as you said, I'm doubling my money. There was a time when I was pretty much always coming close to doubling my money. That time is past, I'm afraid. This past year, I believe, I don't have my numbers in front of me, but I believe I was right at about a 75 to 80% return on investment. So what I mean by that is, let's say, get my calculator out here. Let's say I paid $1,200 for a car, and it cost me $700 in repairs and refurbishment. So I've got $1,900 in the car. I'm talking about an 80% ROI. So that, what I mean by that is 180% would be, I'm selling it for $3,420. If I can get $3,420, that's an 80% return on investment. So I'm not doubling my money, but I am making a significant amount of money. So that's an 80% profit over my total costs for acquisition and for repairs. Here in Alabama, our costs for insurance have gone up. Our cost for bonding has gone up. So you have to calculate all that. It's getting harder and harder. It really is. And you have to be careful to make sure you make some money, Hiko. But I did it this year. This year has been a tough year, and 75 to 80% is, I know it's, I'm right in that pocket. Like I said, I don't have my figures right in front of me, but we just recently did that breakdown. And I think I'm at 78-79% for the year across the board. It was so even though I didn't like the year, honestly, we didn't move as many cars as I wanted to. The ones we did move, we made a good profit on, and that's because I stayed with that. And yes, what cars I stay away from, what cars work better? I love Hondas and Toyotas. I mean, that's Toyotas. Anytime I get one of those, I love it. I like Hondas. I love Suzukis. I drive a Suzuki. I think they're fantastic cars. I know that's not universally thought across the board, but sometimes when you believe in something, you're better at selling it, I guess. Most of the time, there's not really specific cars that I'm looking for. A few cars I shy away from these days are Cadillacs, especially if they're like 2005 or older, which is pretty old for most of you out there. But I see a Cadillac, I love them, but I don't usually buy them. I always check Hondas with high miles, because a lot of times we run into some transmission issues. I've got kind of a list of them in my head and I don't want to degrade anybody's car, because there's a lot of good, a lot of times the cars, you got a good car. A lot of people probably think Suzuki's are junk, but I got one in my garage that's got 350,000 miles on it. So I know that's a good vehicle. So I kind of use my head with that. Hey, I'm going to take a little bit of a break and grab some Kickapoo Joy Juice, and I'll be right back. Hey, thanks for listening. And I want you to consider becoming a Flipping Team member. And when you do, we will share with you a startup kit that is valued at $250 or more. And each month, you'll get our Flipping Team Member Success Pack, which is also designed to help you make more money. Each and every month, you'll get more bonus material and other information because you're a Flipping Team member. Go to flippinggenius.com and click on the Flipping Team Member button to learn more. Hey, before I share the next question, I want to thank everyone who has joined the Flipping Genius Car Flipping Forum. And those of you who are using our Flipping Genius selling groups too, all across the United States. We've got about 22 now car flipping groups. You can find them by just searching Flipping Genius under groups on Facebook, and there's no cost to join. And I want to say an even bigger thank you to those of you who have become Flipping team members, Flipping partners, and Flipping champions. Naturally, I'm trying to make a dollar or two with the podcast. Honestly, I'd like to make a bundle, but it doesn't happen for a long, long time in the podcast business generally. Even when you've produced over 100 episodes, you've got a resources page on your website and scores of videos on your YouTube channel, doesn't mean you're making any money, but your contributions to the cause actually help me buy a grocery or two. So I really appreciate all you guys. And that brings me to the next question. And I'm delighted to say that this is coming up more and more. PJ from Georgia asked it this way. He said, I joined your forum and was hoping there'd be more action on there. Am I missing something? How do I get to talk with the other car flippers and dealers on there? I have a few flips going right now, and I don't want to bother you with all the questions. Plus, I figured some of them know more about engine swaps and stuff like that and some other stuff I'm doing. No offense, but you said you don't do it yourself. Plus, I'm thinking about doing the flipping team member thing for $10 each month. I know you get that startup kit. That sounds good, but is there any other information or whatever that I would only get when I become a member? great question, PJ. I'm sorry, I'm not very good at reading questions. Thank you for asking that, and thank you for joining the Car Flipping Forum. First off, I want to address that. Absolutely. I'll be honest, I'm disappointed that there's not more activity on the group. We've got, I think, 370 members or something like that right now, which is great, and it's growing all the time. It's really grown quite a bit this past month, and I just want to encourage anybody who's on there to share, you know, ask questions of each other, share your success story, show the vehicles that you've gotten, along those lines, show like PJ, you've got a few vehicles working, show pictures of them, ask questions directly about it. I know you'll get answers that way. I know I'll answer you for one, but you'll get answers from others from all across the country. If you've got a problem finding a part, if you've got a question about an engine swap, what you just said there, or maybe, other questions about how to, I know one thing that's been pretty popular lately is buying vehicles at different auctions. Ask questions about that. There's a lot of very experienced members, a lot of newbie folks too, who are just learning. A lot of people are are going to have the same issues. And I just encourage you to share your issues, your questions, your problems, your successes. Tell us about your triumphs. Encourage each other. So that's the first thing. Sometimes you got to be the one that jumps in first, PJ. So I encourage you to do that. And believe me, I'm trying my best to keep it growing and keep it going, and anything I can do to help bring about that kind of lost for words, which is not good for a guy who's doing a podcast, but anything that can bring that community about, that's what I'm really hoping for, that we'll all start working together and talking with each other. So that's that part of it. Now, you and I take no offense at all. You're exactly right, PJ. I do. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. And this year, really want to bring more and more guests on. And I posted that recently on the forum. And I'll just throw it out here too. If you've got a story to tell, if you've got a situation that you're in that you'd like to discuss, maybe you're having a difficulty, or maybe you're getting started and you're having problems buying vehicles, or maybe you're not. Maybe you've got this thing wrapped up and you are doing great. You just like to come on and brag. We'd love to hear your success stories too. So I'd like to have listeners who are listening right now. Some of you be our guests on the microphone on future podcast episodes. Just reach out to me, flippingquestions@gmail.com. You can reach me with everything there. And of course, if you're on the Flippers forum, you can reach me on Facebook there too. I'd love to hear. PJ, you might want to come talk to us about the flips you've got going. We'd be happy to hear what you got cooking and hear how those turn out. And I really, really, truly appreciate that you're thinking about becoming a flipping member. That is $9.99 a month. And I think it's a great, I tried to make it as great of a value as possible. And PJ referred to that you get a startup kit, and you do. I'm looking right at it. You get you get my flipping vehicle P&L analysis form. You get the flipping auction analysis system, which is what I use when I go to the auction. You get the goal setting and tracking system, which is what I've been spending a lot of time on the last couple weeks, getting everything ironed out. I think I've got everything straight, so I am tracking. I like to be tracking everything as of the first, and I was, and I think I just wrapped up personally. I know that's got nothing to do with your question, but you get the same system that I've been using for a dozen years. You get to a national vehicle auction directory, which gives you auctions all over the country. You get contacts and resources directory, which is our resources directory is also on our website, but you get a hard copy of that, and you get the top flipping genius episodes on MP3. We send those to you too, and that's just our introductory kit. And then each month we try to send something else out to you that will help you with your business. This is the first tier. It's at $9.99 a month. We call that the flipping team member group. And now what? Now PJ already knew all that, but he asked, "Is there any other information or whatever I would get when I become a member?" And this is kind of I love that you asked the question. I love being able to answer the question right now, because it's one of the things we put together in December, in keeping with that we want to grow the podcast and make it more profitable. I mean, it's got to be more profitable, or I'm not going to keep doing it, right? And so what we're going to do is we're going to have some member only material, some content that will only be available to our paying members. That's something we haven't really done up until this point, but with some serious guests coming on this year, I think that this is a good way to build what we're trying to build here and make it something that can grow and be sustained So that's something that you're going to see. So if you become a flipping team member at $9.99 a month, you will have access to the new member only content that we create, both in audio, video, and written material that will be coming out this year. I'll be doing a lot of it myself, but a lot of it will have input of some special guests that you will be hearing. You'll be hearing them on the episodes, but there'll be kind of bonus time with them that will just like last on episode 100, the information that I got from Ed Fox, I think I mentioned it is such money making information. Fantastic stuff. And I don't mean to tease, but hey, that's what everybody does. I just decided I've got to do that too. So we'll continue to give you the material that we can, but every now and then we're going to pull some stuff back and keep it just for those guys that are helping support the program and help pay the bills. Cause there's expenses involved in running a podcast. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everybody that does that. And thank you to PJ from Georgia for asking that question. And okay, this is the last one I'm going to answer today. And this is from Chico from Texas. Chico, honestly, Chico was the only one who asked me this, but I thought it'd be fun and maybe helpful to answer it. And he asked, Flipping Genius, and Chico called me that during every email. And even when we talked on the phone recently, he called me Flipping Genius. I don't think he knows what my name is. He said, Flipping Genius, I like how you said that you walk and look for cars to flip. That is smart. But you said that you listen to other podcasts while you walk sometimes. I was wondering what you listen to and if it's all about car flipping. What do you listen to the most? What other stuff do you listen to? I'm curious. I started doing it here and using the post-it note thing, and I've bought a truck and an SUV already. It really works. Thank you, Genius. Let me know what you think are the best podcasts, and I will listen to them too. Thank you, Flipping Genius. Thank you, Chico. And you can call me Randy, man, but I'll answer to Genius or Flipping Genius too. And if you don't already know, what Chico's referring to is a system that I have used for years to buy both houses and cars and land. I just have these post-it notes that I use. Mine actually say, I buy cars, I buy houses, and it has my phone number on it. And I get them printed up, and I look for cars that have expired tags, that have high grass growing around them, or any other sign that I think that they're not using that car. And I'll put it on the mailbox. I'll put it on the windshield. I'll put it on the front door. I might put it on all three. And I have been doing that for a long time. And I get phone calls. I also will carry them with me they're in my car all the time. So if I'm at Walmart and I see somebody's car has a flat tire or some other reason that I think that this car has been sitting here for a while, I'll stick them there too. And what Chico is referring to is I walk and do this. Walking is one of my main exercises. It's New Year's, so we're probably all trying to get in better shape. And I am, even though I can't remember how many hundreds of miles, I think over 1,000 miles I walked last year, but I want to increase that because I've got some health goals, I want to get in better shape, and walking is a great way to do it. And I know at a past episode a long time ago, I called myself a professional athlete because I do my walking for money with the post-it notes. And of course I also I have business cards that say I buy Randy Buys Cars, and I own randybuyscars.com. And between those two things, that was my number one source for cars this past year, even better than the auction. So yeah, it absolutely does work, and I'm happy that Chico's using it. I'm delighted that it's working for you, and thanks so much for asking the question. It's pretty cool that you want to know what I'm listening to. And no, I did listen to some car flipping podcasts when I first started the podcast, but The one I listen to the most is no longer, it's not available anymore. And I don't know if that was out of, I don't know why that happened. Actually, that was Jeremy Fisher, who had produced a great digital course called three hour car flip. And we still sell his course on our website. You can go to the resources page and you can buy it for less than $50. And it's a great digital course. It's a few years old now, but it's definitely valuable. It's definitely worth $50. You'll make a lot more money from Jeremy's ideas. And his podcast was excellent. He's a great podcaster, but he's pulled that down now, so you can't really listen to it. There was another one that was kind of had some good information on it, but it's a lot of out of date stuff too, I think. And I haven't been able to find it for a while. So no, I'm to answer that question, Chico, no, I'm not listening to podcasts about car flipping. I have to double check. Yeah, I just want to make sure we're still recording. But anyway, you asked me what I'm listening to. I'm going to share it with you, and I hope a lot of you guys are interested in this, because there's some good podcasts. I love podcasts because it makes my time go by faster. I walked about 5 miles today, and I was a lot of times. I'm listening to some stuff you probably won't be interested in, but I'll get to that later. The one I've been listening to the most lately is called The Office Deep Dive with Brian Baumgartner. Brian played Kevin on The Office, and he does a fantastic job talking about the TV show The Office, which I'm a big fan of The Office. So I've really, really, really enjoyed that. Of course, there's another one called Office Ladies. I enjoy that too, but Brian's The Office Deep Dive is I think I've listened to it lately more than anything. There's a podcast called Recruit Me, the Recruit Me Athletic Scholarship Podcast. I really recommend that if you've got kids that are athletes that you'd like to see them play, go to college on a college scholarship, athletic scholarship, whether they're gymnasts or baseball players, football players, wrestlers, whatever. I cannot remember the gentleman's name that does the podcast right now, but just look up Recruit Me. He's got a book out that I bought, and I've been active in trying to help my nephews get recruited. They're kind of superstar athletes, so it probably didn't need as much effort, but he talks about in the podcast about his sons who both have gotten college scholarships. For playing baseball, I believe, and that's a really good one. I can't recommend that enough. I listen a lot to the Ben Shapiro show. I guess I'll be kind of showing my cards here. I try not to talk politics or anything, but if you listen to Ben, you'll know where I stand. I love to listen to Verdict with Senator Ted Cruz. I just think. It's one of my favorite podcasts. It keeps me informed. I think it's fairly balanced, and it is funny. There's a lot of that guy's got a great sense of humor. I've really enjoyed him, and also I listened to Candace Owens and the Candace podcast. Candace also has a great sense of humor, and she is a sharp lady. I really enjoy listening to her. Back for just pure entertainment, I listened to Talking Sopranos. I think I've just about listened to all of the episodes because Michael Imperioli and Steve Sciarrippa, who were in The Sopranos, the TV show The Sopranos, they go through episode by episode and do a show called Talking Sopranos. And I think they won like all the awards for podcasts this year. They do a nice job and they bring out a lot of guests. If you're a Sopranos fan, you really want to listen to that. Just like The Office Deep Dive, Brian does a great job. I was just listening to Steve Carell on it this week. That was a lot of fun. I've had these two guys on the show. Profit from Trade with Tom Hood is, I think I mentioned it a couple episodes ago. Tom does a fantastic job about talking about barter and to go back to the earlier question. Having trouble getting back to it. Going back to the question about barter that, let's see, who Dave from Monroe, Michigan asked me. Dave, you really should check out this podcast too. And I think I might have told you about it in our email, but check out Profit from Trade. I think Tom only did 8 episodes. I don't know if he'll ever get back to it, but those episodes are filled with lots of stuff. I don't listen to it all the time. You will hear me on one of the episodes. That's not really what I'm bragging about. I really like Tom's. He does a great job of explaining it all. And a little bit more fun job of explaining it all would be done by Ed Fox, who was on our episode 100. And Lisa Smith, who I mentioned earlier, was on episode 15, I think. Ed and Lisa do a show called Barter Boom, Barter Bing. It's very focused on the trade bank franchise world, but they talk a lot about barter, and they're a lot of fun. Whenever they come out with a new episode, I always listen. They're not quite as diligent and religious at getting the episodes out like yours truly, but they have some great information. I mentioned Jeremy Fisher earlier. Jeremy also has had some life events that have stopped him from doing his podcast all the time. But if you haven't listened to The Awakening, I highly recommend look that up, The Awakening. I'm hoping Jeremy will get back to it and give us some more episodes. But he's got a lot of them out there, and they're quick. They're really well done, and they'll give you some great business ideas. That is a fantastic podcast, The Awakening with Jeremy Fisher. And of course he is the one that produced the 3-hour car flip. Now most of the other stuff I listen to is all related to Wisconsin Badger sports, particularly football, of course, and basketball too. If you're into Wisconsin Badgers, I listen to the Buckeyes Fifth Quarter, Locked On Badgers, The Camp, the Badger Blitz. And there's more, but I know you probably think that's crazy. I kind of doubt that a lot of the people listening to my podcasts are Badger fans. But I've said before, if they're wearing the Motion W, I am cheering for them no matter what they're playing. I don't care if it's Tiddlywinks. I love the Badgers. And if I'm not listening to that or music on Pandora, which I love bluegrass and country, I'm usually listening to college football. There's a college football app that I have on my phone, and you can tune into most games on the radio right over your smartphone if they're playing them live. So I love to listen to sports on the radio. So that passes the time too. So thanks for asking about that, Chico. And thank you all again for listening. Please be sure to save us as a favorite. Subscribe if you're listening on Spotify. On Apple, please leave us a 5-star review. It really helps. And please join the car flipping forum on Facebook groups if you haven't already. And when you do, please interact with each other. Please help each other. You you can make it better. You can help it make it better for everyone. Please consider becoming a flipping team member, a flipping partner, or even a flipping champion. And a giant thank you to all of you who have already done that. Some great new member-only content will be coming your way soon, and I really, really appreciate you. Learn more about all this on our website, www.flippinginius.com. That's Flippin' Genius with just one G. And when you're there, be sure to check out our resources page too. We have more discount deals in the works, so check in again every now and then because you'll see new stuff. Working on that right now. Hey, let's work together. Let's make some money. Let's all become flipping geniuses.